When I'm called to answer for my history, Calvary answered for me. Can you say that? You see, when it's all boiled down, what have you done with Jesus? I know this past week I had a conference and a retired judge, and I was came to this Bible study. I was asked to do a Bible study, which was a privilege at a state conference put on by the government. Praise God. But they said, one thing about it, Dennis, you've got to get up at 6, and your Bible study starts at 6:30 before we can really do anything. I said, 6 o'clock is fine with me. If we're going to open God's Word, that's beautiful. But a retired judge showed up, and the retired judge was asking me questions. Basically what my brother's saying, what do you do about these situations in my life? How do I know that I'm forgiven? Stand on the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Boy, how that song tied in with our lesson even. If you'll be so kind as to open your love letters, and I trust that they don't have dust in them. I trust that you're in love with Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you have been reading His love letters, standing on the promises. So if you'll be so kind as to open to Romans 6, we're in Romans 6, 12 and 13, and when you find Romans 6, if you'll be so kind as to stand, because this is the inerrant, infallible, powerful Word of God. So Romans 6, verses 12 and 13, we find these words. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. And if you'll put your name there. Let not sin, therefore, reign in Dennis's mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Dennis, beware. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But Dennis, yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let's go to the Lord's throne in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. May you give me the power to preach to a group of people as a dying man to dying people. Heavenly Father, may you this hour remove anything that would hinder us from allowing your Holy Spirit to walk by my hand and take me through the portals and the hallways of my heart, so that, Heavenly Father, I will see what I do with the gifts, with the members of my body. Do I exalt the name of Christ, Heavenly Father, or do I feed and make the calls on my own, Heavenly Father, and feed the flesh? Now, Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of each person here. And my prayer is that if one is here and they do not know, if one is here and the devil's been lying, if one is here and they're not sure, that they'll not leave today without knowing that they know that they have been saved. And then, Heavenly Father, God, forgive those of us who know you. And we've been using our members, our bodies, our living sacrifices, our lives to feed the flesh, to feed the devil, to run with the world. God forbid. And God help us this morning. We'll be changed people. We'll not go back home and go back to the workplace the same as we left them Friday. But we'll be changed people, ready, Heavenly Father, ready to be used by a holy God to call precious souls into glory for all eternity. We love you and thank you for what you're going to do this morning. Amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you, first of all, what do you do and what do I do with the members? What do we do with our members? Do we continually feed the flesh? Do we start changing our thinking process? What do we do? So let me ask you before we get started. There was a wedding, and attending the wedding for the first time was a little girl, and she was all in awe, and her mother was ooh, goo, goo. You know how they get. And the little girl said, Mommy, 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 why is the bride dressed in white? And of course, the mother's response was, because, well, honey, white is the color of happiness and purity. And today, honey, today is the happiest day of her life. And the little girl looked around and looked back at the bride and looked at the mother and looked around. Then the little girl said, well, why is the groom wearing black? But I'd like to liken that to a wedding feast and a wedding that you and I are planning to go to. You see, we are involved in a love story. And the love story is so great that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings has chosen to wear black, has chosen to take my sin on Him so that I can stand one day as the bride, glorious, radiant. And I've challenged you before in Bible studies, is Dennis Dennis? You've asked Christ to save you, but is Dennis going to blemish, wrinkle, or stain the gown by my lifestyle? What about you? He has died for you. He is coming back for you. We've got promises. This is a love story for all eternity. This love story would go on and on, and you are written in this love story. But how you end in the love story is up to you and you. It's your decision. It's no one else's decision. I truly sense that the Lord is preparing us for a great revival. And of course, revivals start personally in my heart and in your heart. And a revival within our community and a revival within our nation. And before this can happen, though, we must deal with some spiritual truths within ourselves. A majority of the Christian community has become very passive, blowing with the wind, not really knowing whom or what we stand for. And this is sad. This past month, a person was in the office. It's a government office, and the person insisted that we give them a place to pray. Excuse me? It's prayer time. I want a place to pray. There's the corner. I'm not going to argue with them. What about us? What about us? I shared this past week with the state. There's a Bible on my desk, and that Bible is part of who I am. And that Bible, although it's in a government building, it's your building, that Bible, when that Bible goes, I go. But isn't it time that we Christians wake up? Isn't it time that we quit letting the enemy, the devil, through Islam and Muslim, to start pushing us aside? Isn't it time that we say, I need a place to pray? Because like Daniel, I want to pray three times a day, because Dennis knows before he can pray and have his devotion and get his coffee and get in his little Bubba truck to go to work, I know that I'm going to be tempted of the Lord, and if I'm not right with God, I'm going to fall. So I need to pray. But isn't it time that we start getting it right? Isn't it time that we Christians quit blowing with the wind, and we Christians quit listening to the pagan society that we're in, and we get serious about our faith with Jesus Christ, about our walk with Jesus Christ? But I fear this. I fear that we are so spoon-fed. I fear that we are so spoiled. I fear that if the air's not right, I fear that if the temperature's just not right and the clothes just weren't hung right, and we find every excuse not to come to God's house and not to do the things that we know we should do. Shame on us when people are hungry for the truth about life. People need to eat from the bread of life, and you and I have the key. Isn't it time that we get it right? Isn't it time that we wake up? I know this past Wednesday with Brother Bill, he shared with the congregation on Wednesday night that the Puritans, listen to this, the Puritans broke from the Anglican Church of England, went to Holland and ended up in the New World in order to worship God and study His Word and live what they believed. Did you hear what I said? Lived what they believed. They lived and practiced what they preached. Do we... Isn't it time we start connecting the dots in our faith? If we believe, we need to start heeding and flesh it out in our lives. It's okay to look like the world, like the unsaved. We think we listen to the devil habitually. We just blend in with them, and we shouldn't. Just because, I'm just going to say it because I dealt with a friend this week at a conference. Just because everyone else is doing it, you don't have a right to do it, because you told me you asked Christ into your heart and life to save you. And I don't go around judging people, but they came to me at a Bible study. They stayed afterwards and asked me, and I have to tell them the truth. No, it's not right for you to continue living like that habitually. No, it's not. God says it's not. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to get it right? The title, if you wanted a title for this, is Who is Calling the Plays? You see, it's football season. Joby and Kobe have a little friend, and he said, I've been in football all the time, all summer long. I practice. All summer long we work. All summer long, physically, agility, we've got to work on it before we even get to the first game, before we can even get on the field. Well, Christian brothers and sisters, what's different about us? Why do we think that we can take our faith and put it on cruise control and run with the world and we're promised heaven, but yet we have no fruits to prove it. So Dennis, then you're listening to the lies of the devil if you don't have fruits to prove it, because God tells us the righteousness in Dennis's life. But if we took all that we have, and listen, if all of us took all of our good and laid it before God, before a holy God, do we have anything to offer Him? No. He's got to break our spirit. He's got to show you and me where we really are. And we're really sinners. And we're really not practicing what He tells us to. And so I ask you, do we really love Him? Are we serious about our relationship with Him? It's football season. And after football, I know I always like to watch the expressions on the coaches when the camera comes right into the coach after they dropped the ball or after the play went wrong. And the camera goes to the coaches because you can read the coach's mind. Who's calling the calls in your life? Are you calling the calls? Are you listening to God? It reflects in your play. It reflects in your life. And that's what I mean by the play. And life is like, you know, if you like football, we're on the field and playing the game of life, but it's not a game. This is real. And I was, one of the sermons that I had laid on my heart with this reality TV, I don't watch TV and I just get sick of it. So now the actors can no longer act to surprise you and blow your mind. They just go to reality TV because people are just crazy. They're lost and undone without world. And then we think it's entertainment. My Lord, what have we come to? And then you and I buy into it. Goodness. So, first of all, Paul uses and emphasizes some words. So we're going to look, if you'll be so kind as to go to your love letters in Romans 6, we find Paul, before we get to 12 and 13, let not sin therefore reign in Dennis's mortal body. We see where Paul is calling attention to a few words. In verse 3, we see, know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Christ Jesus? That word, know. And then in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, Dennis, the old man of Dennis is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Then in verse 9, that word, knowing again. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died. Dieth no more death. This word know, Satan wants to keep, and it's important, Satan wants to keep us in the dark when it comes to spiritual truths, and we should know, and this is one of the reasons many Christians are living beneath their privileges. The devil whispers in our ears that Christians can live and flirt with sin because of God's grace, because of God's forgiveness. Or Satan reminds you what you've done, as my brother saying, what you've done in the past, Dennis, you're not worthy. And so we start dwelling on that, and we don't live up to the privilege, because God's word says, Dennis, don't listen to that. You need to know who you are. You need to know that you stand. You need to know that you are crucified with Christ. You need to know your position in Christ. How many of us are missing out on a victorious life because we are listening to the devil and we don't know, we're not clear thought, but we are reminded, and so we keep going back to the old self. Goodness, do you see the importance of that word know here? This is the wonderful truth of our identification with Christ. Can you and do you identify with Christ this morning? Not only did Christ die for you, die for me, but we died with Him. And when the Spirit baptized you and me in His body, then I became part and you became part of His death on the cross. We see that in verses 3 and 4. He says, know, Dennis, know ye not that so many of us, so many of you were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead of the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Dennis, what he's saying here, Paul's saying, Dennis, you need to know, you need to quit listening to the lies of the devil. You need to remind yourself these are promises from God. Not one word will return void. Dennis, you need to know, son, you need to know that you died with Christ. And you need to know that you were raised with Christ. And you need to know your position in Christ. So let me ask you, do you know your position in Christ? Do you surrender and do you give all of your members to the devil, to the lust of your flesh? Do you give all of your members, or are you constantly see that battle because you know you shouldn't? Or are you just calloused about it? If you're calloused about it and it just does not make any sense to you, then I plead with you today, don't leave without asking Christ to save you. Then the fruit's not there. Then you have not been spiritually baptized, spiritually died to self. That's basically what Paul's trying to tell us here. Do you refer, and also I like this, in verse 3 and 4 where he says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized?" This does not refer to water baptism by the operation of the Spirit, but it's the operation of the Spirit in putting us into Christ as members of His body. When Christ died, I died with Him. When He was raised, I was raised to a newness of life with Him. This is my new position in Christ. And if you know that we have that new position in Christ, if you know when you stand on that, then you don't willingly give in to the feeding of the flesh and giving your members away to unrighteousness. Listen, Christ not only died for sin, but He also died unto sin. We see that in Romans 6, verse 10. "For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God." That is, He broke the power of sin and put out of commission, destroyed the old nature. Are you allowing Him to destroy the old nature within you? Therefore, the old nature is still there. This we know, but it has been robbed of its power by the cross of Christ. So if we apply the Spirit and power of Christ into our lives, do you apply the power of Christ into your life? He tells us, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you obey the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as members of unrighteousness unto sin." How many of us yield our members as unrighteousness? And when we say yield your members, you may think members. Well, we're talking about hands and feet, and we're talking about mind. And I want to let's just boil it all down and cut it right to the bone. We in church today are the first ones to criticize that old boy coming out of that bar, or that gal that was rambling around last night. We're the first ones. But God's saying, "Dennis, break yourself. What about your unforgiving spirit? What about your self-righteousness? What about your callousness toward love of other people whom we don't think are in our class? Do I need to continue?" God's saying this morning to everyone within the sound of my voice, just break yourself and see yourself as you really are. And this lesson really applies to all of us because of our members. Our members should be broken. We should see the callous on our hearts, and we should ask Him to start removing them. Sin and the old nature are hard masters. Listen, they're hard masters. The unsaved person is a slave of sin. If you'll be so kind, or I'll go over there for you in Ephesians 2, we find these words. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." We were feeding the flesh. What about you and I? Even many Christians still serve sin, even though the mastery of sin over the Christian has been broken. Christ, allow Christ to break the mastery of this sin in your life. We also see over in Galatians 5, works of the flesh. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like." Do we still have these in our life? And again, you and I want to pick up on the obvious sins. You and I want to point at the obvious unsaved. Well, quit looking at them. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. They're unsaved without Christ. But you and I should be living such a life. You and I should be bringing our lives are what? Our lives are sacrifices, living sacrifices. And God tells us in Matthew, "Dennis, when you come and you bring your sacrifice, when you bring your offering and lay it at the altar," which is my life, by the way, because we are the living sacrifices. So Dennis, this is what He's saying. "Dennis, when you come and you bring your sacrifice, your life before the altar, go through your life. And if there anything ought against your brother," that's Scripture, Matthew 5. "Dennis, is there anything against your brother? Then leave your offering and go your way and get it right with your brother. Then come back." I want to say that because the Lord has led me to say this. We are powerless in the church of Jesus Christ today because we are bringing our sacrifices and they're filthy and they're not fit for sacrifice to a holy God. And then we think, and then we listen to the devil, and then we think we've satisfied our conscience. So we continue thinking that we're doing about God's work, and God's saying, Dennis, I can't accept you, big boy. Can't work in you. Can't give my power to you. You've just pushed me out of the way. You're still on the throne of your life. You're still letting the members of unrighteousness serve. And I can't deal with you. Goodness, what a shape we're in. So then we have people pushing us around saying, I want to use the office to pray. And I want my rights. And the whole time we're just sitting there mute. Because our life has no resemblance. As the Puritans, our lives have no resemblance of what we really stand for. God help us is right. God be with us. God stir our souls. God get us on the right track. And then the next word that I want to call to your attention before we get into the Scripture. This is fun. So we're just... Okay, the next word, Dennis, get with it. The next word is to reckon. This is in verse 11, where it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. This word reckon, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we must by faith reckon it to be true in our lives. So first of all, we know, then we reckon. Reckoning is simply that step of faith that says what God says about me in the Bible is now true in my life. I believe it. I am crucified with Christ. Can you personally declare and say, I am crucified with Christ? So this word reckon is a translation of a Greek word used 41 times in the New Testament. And it's interesting, it's also used 19 times in Romans alone. It means to take into account, to calculate, to estimate, to put to one's account is perhaps the best translation. And I would like to add, to put to Christ's account. It simply means to believe that what God says in His Word is really true in your life. Note, Paul did not tell his readers to feel as if they were dead to sin, or even to understand fully, but to act on God's Word and claim it themselves. It's not on feelings. It's not on emotions. It's on knowing. It's on knowing that you had a time and a place where you asked Christ to save you, knowing that you're standing on His promises, knowing that the old man died, then reckoning without a doubt, not flinching, saying, I am taking it to the bank because my soul has been birthed by the kingdom of Jesus Christ into because of the blood of Christ, and I'm taking it to the bank, and it's His endorsement on my life, and that settles it. So now let's get on about His business. Devil, get behind me. Devil, I'm not going to yield my members to you. I'm going to yield my members to a holy God because I'm coming as a living sacrifice, confessed up, prayed up, and ready to be used up by a holy God. That's where we find ourselves. Where do you find yourself? Then this is interesting also. Reckoning is faith in action, resting on the Word of God in spite of circumstances or feelings. So God tells us not to crucify ourselves, but rather to believe that we are crucified and the old nature is put to death. You see, this is an interesting point that we miss sometimes. Crucifixion is one death no man can inflict on himself. He must be crucified by another. So reckoning is that simple step of faith that believes what God's Word says, we act on it. We are crucified with Christ. So therefore, if Dennis knows that the old man, Dennis, asked Christ into his heart and life, Dennis is crucified with Christ. Therefore, Dennis is in Christ. That's his position. Now, let me ask you, how many of us are living lives as if we have crucified by ourselves? How many of us think that we can take it all and do it all on our own? We all do. There's a part of us that we're all constantly saying we can do it on our own. But it's interesting, crucifixion, you cannot crucify yourself on your own. Christ was crucified by whom, when it boils down to it? By me. Now, spiritually, he's saying, Dennis, you've accepted Christ, then you're crucified with Christ. Because remember, you can't crucify yourself. Does it make sense? Stay with me. No. What you believe, reckon that it's true. And then the surest evidence of our spiritual life is the dedication of us to God. Let me ask you, are you dedicated to God? And it's a daily sacrifice. It becomes those that are alive from the dead, that are justified and delivered from death, to give them to Him that has been redeemed. So if the believer truly reckons himself dead to sin, then he will prove his faith by yielding himself to God. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you consciously, knowingly yielded yourself to God? truly yielding yourself to God. So this is the step three in the process of getting victory over the old nature, the flesh, the old man, the old Dennis. Let not, and then we pick up in verse 12. Is that right? It might be. All right, in verse 12 it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." And put your name there. This "let not" is a stern act of your own will and a step of obedience to the Lord. It is not enough to know the wonderful doctrine, or even to reckon the wonderful doctrine, but we must take this final step of yielding the members of our bodies to Christ. No man can serve two masters. We find this over in Luke 16. We find in Luke 16:13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Whom are you serving? Do you have one master? Whom do you know that died for you? Are you reckoning that this is true and you're standing on the promises? And then are you yielding your members to Him? No servant can serve two masters. And then we are now the servants of righteousness instead of the servants of sin. And as we yield the members of the body to Christ as His tools or weapons, we find that in verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness," Dennis. Don't give in to unrighteousness unto sin, "but yield yourselves unto God as those that are" what? "Alive from the dead." So the only way this can apply to you is that you have been birthed again into the kingdom through the Spirit of God by asking Christ into your heart and life to save you. Alive from the dead. So the Christian who deliberately yields himself or herself to sin is going to commit sin and reap sorrow, defeated and powerless lives. So why should sin be our master when we have died to sin? You reckon yourselves were crucified with Christ, then you shouldn't give in your members to sin. Why must we be obedient to a master that has already been defeated by Christ on the cross? And let's just cut it to the bone. Too many Christians are obeying sin simply because they deliberately yield themselves to sin. Simply because we choose to. So if we choose to yield to sin, then Dennis chooses to yield himself to sin, chooses not to ask forgiveness, chooses to act like the world, chooses to run with the world, and yet Dennis assumes that he's in love with Christ and Christ died for him. And if Dennis continues down this path, all of a sudden the things of God get further away, and I could care less. And then I question whether Dennis is truly born again. Because if Dennis truly loved God, truly loved Jesus Christ, Dennis would not tolerate at all being away. I know something happened. It reminded me last week. Something happened. I told my wife, I don't care. I just want to be there. Just want to be with you. Just choose to be with the people that I know love me and I love them. Y'all, we cannot continue to run from God and continue to use the members of our bodies for unrighteousness when the whole time we choose, then who's calling the play? Then are you in love with Christ? Then are you born again? Are you running with the world? Who's your master? It's important that we keep these three steps in order. The Christian, and this is interesting, the Christian cannot yield himself, Dennis can't yield himself to God and get victory over the flesh, over his flesh, unless Dennis first reckons himself to be dead unto sin and alive in Christ. And Dennis cannot reckon himself dead unless he knows his position in Christ. So there again, do you know your position in Christ? Do you need to be positioned in Christ today? Don't leave today if you can't say, "I'm positioned with Christ, Dennis." Don't leave today without asking Him into your heart and life. So he tries to confuse. So Satan does not want Dennis to live up to his privilege in Christ. So he tries to confuse believers, tries to confuse Dennis, Satan does, as to the victory relationship to the Son of God. So when we yield to anything other than the Lord, we are out of His will and purpose, and we are functioning under the old man and become dead men walking. There's a saying, and many of you have heard this, that in the state prisons and in the federal prisons, when the man's sentenced to death and the man comes out and he's walking down the hallway, all the inmates holler, "Dead man walking. Dead man walking. Dead man walking." What's the difference in that and Dennis being born again, living as though he was never born again because he's still dead in his sins and trespasses? Then don't you think that Satan has a way to get to the angels and to start hollering, Look at that guy y'all said was saved. Dead man walking. Look at him. He has nothing to do with you. He is unrighteous. He is unholy. He doesn't offer holy sacrifices. His members are all feeding the flesh because I'm on his back. Because I'm saying dead man walking. And all of you hear me, and there's no power in his life. Why isn't it power in Dennis's life? Because Dennis chooses not to have the power of God in his life. Because Dennis chose not to yield his members to God, but to yield his members to unrighteousness. So let's look. I'm just going to butcher this all up. So let's just look. We need to look in God's Word at people who permitted God to take and use their bodies for the fulfilling of His purpose. Members in God's Word who chose to yield their members as members of righteousness unto God. God used the rod in Moses' hand and conquered Egypt. He used the sling in David's hand to defeat the Philistines. God used the mouths and tongues of the prophets. What about Paul's dedicated feet carried him from city to city as he proclaimed the gospel? And of all people, Paul had the right to have the devil on his back saying, "Remember when." Am I correct? You bet. What about Apostle John's eyes saw visions of the future, his ears heard God's message, and his fingers wrote it down in a book that we can read. They knew, they reckoned, they yielded, allowing God to make the call in their lives. But, listen up. We need to also look in God's Word at people who chose to call the wrong play. Instead of yielding to God, they yielded themselves and their members and used the members of their bodies for sinful purposes. What about David's eyes looked on his neighbor's wife? His mind plotted a wicked scheme. His hand signed a cowardly order for the woman's husband to be killed. As we read Psalms 51, we see that his whole body, all of his members, were affected by sin. And then he comes. King David comes later in Psalms 51 and he pleads and he says with his eyes, with his mind, with his ears, with his heart, and with his mouth, "God forbid. God forgive." This is what we're talking about. Your members, you have control. You can choose to feed the lust, to choose to feed self, to choose not to yield yourself to God. Or you can choose to yield yourself to God. Who's calling the plays? You see, why are we to yield? We're to yield for favor, freedom, and fruit. Favor, we see in verse 14 of Romans 6. "For sin shall not have dominion over you if you yield, Dennis. For ye are not under the law, but you're under grace." That's favor. It is because of God's grace that we yield ourselves to Him. The fact that we are saved by grace does not give us an excuse to sin. Dennis, don't listen to the devil. Dennis, remind the devil that you know that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That you reckon that it is true. You stand firm. You're not going to waver. And you're going to yield yourself to Him. And then the freedom we see in verse 24, in Romans 6, verse 20. "For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." The illustration of the master and servant is obvious. Whatever you yield to becomes your master. Who is your master this morning? Before you were saved, you were the slave of sin. Now that you belong to Christ, you are freed from that old slavery and made the servant of Christ. What about the prodigal son? The prodigal son thought freedom turned out to be the worst king of slavery. Remember the story? It was only when he returned home and yielded to his father that he found true freedom. And then the fruit. So we've covered favor, freedom. Now the fruit in verse 23 of Romans 6. But now being in Romans 6, 22, we also see free. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness." The fruit. If you serve a master, you can expect to receive wages. Sin pays wages of death. God also pays wages, holiness and everlasting life, and peace and joy and power and freedom. Do you see the difference? If the believer refuses to surrender his body to the Lord, but uses it for members of sinful purpose, then he is in danger. So in closing, there is a sin unto death. That's in 1 John 5:17. So in closing, speaking of biblical references to characters who refuse to yield their members to the God, yield their members for righteousness unto God. What about Samson? Samson, for example, would not yield himself to God, but preferred to yield to the lust of the flesh, and the result was death. If the believer refuses to surrender his body to the Lord, but uses its members for sinful purposes, then he or she is in danger of being disciplined by the Father, and this could mean death. We also find reference to that in Hebrews 12:5-11. The father chastens his children after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So therefore, in closing, I want you to know that you have been crucified with Christ and are dead to sin. This morning, do you know that you know that you know that you have asked Christ into your heart and life to save you? And then I want you to reckon this fact to be true and live your life as though it's true. Don't wave with the wind. Don't fall into the pagan society. But we need to be like the oak tree, standing firm on our faith, knowing that it's true. And then yielding your body to serve the Lord, to be used for His glory. Now that you know these truths, reckon them to be true in your life and yield yourself to God. You are calling the plays of your life. What are you going to yield your members to? Are you going to be victorious? Or are you going to be defeated? Who is your master? If you're not positioned in Christ, don't leave today without asking Him into your heart and life. And then stop yielding your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves as one alive from the dead. Are you spiritually alive? Or are you dead man walking? So I said all that to say this. Who are we yielding our members to? Our mind, our hands, our feet? Do you have trouble finding love in other people? Are you miserable because you won't let some things go? I know this, I'll be honest with you. God, what an honor to stand and to be able to read, first of all, to be your child, and then to be called on to expound on your word. So God, show me any unrighteousness. So I laid myself on the altar. Yes, Dennis, by the way. Dennis, this is God, and you asked me to show you, I'm going to show you. There's a neighbor that you had an ought with. You need to make it right. Oh, but God, am I the only one? Oh, but God, that was not me. Oh, but there is. Can't use you if you're not going to get it right. So last Saturday, I went over there, checked on him, talked to him. You see, we think that little things don't matter. Little things fester. And little things that show up become cancers in our lives. And the cancers start taking the power of God. Sure, you can be saved. I'm not here to judge you. That's between you and God Almighty. Samson had the power of God to deliver the nation of Israel from the Philistines. And what did Samson do? He refused. And finally God said, I've got to remove you. How many of us, we could turn this community, we could turn this state, we could turn this nation upside down if we will stand on what we believe. But before we can stand for something, we need to know that we know that we know that we believe it. So this morning in closing, do you know that you're positioned in Christ? Or you're not sure? If you don't know your position in Christ, if you haven't seen changes in your life where the old Dennis died, and I'm only using myself because that's all I can say, where the old Dennis died. Dennis, are you starting to see changes? Are you starting to see the calluses come off? Dennis, are you starting to see, do you know and you can see evidence of this, of being born again, of the Spirit of God in your life? Dennis, do you know that? And if Dennis can say yes, then Dennis needs to reckon it's true and get on with the business of God. But if Dennis can't say, I really don't see any change, then Dennis needs to come down and ask Brad and someone to show them what it means to pray the sinner's prayer and ask Christ into his heart and life to save him. If Dennis knows, then Dennis needs to reckon and tell the devil, get behind me, I know it's for real. Then Dennis needs to start yielding himself, his members, all of Dennis, all, he tells us, to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. Holy and acceptable. All of Dennis. Not just the Dennis on Sunday morning. Not just the Dennis at work before he gets frustrated. Oh, I'm just as real as you. Sometimes my staff will say, enough. They'll walk in with the tennis shoes and say, we don't care where you're going, but you need to go take a break. So, it's a constant, because where he says that we is a constant daily. And how do we do it? How do we yield? You can't do it by playing games. You must be in His Word. You must pray. You must. You must have Christian fellowship. You must get out of your comfort zone. You can't do it on your own. You can't crucify yourself on your own. Remember, we use that illustration. So you can't walk on your own. You can't bask in the love and the power of a holy God on your own. You must have help. And the help starts right here. And this has to be applied here. It's not a program. You can get all the programs and all the courses you want, but it starts right here in the heart. And it starts by accepting Jesus Christ. So let me ask you. Do you know? Do you reckon? And are you willing to yield yourself to a holy God who said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And until you're in my presence, I'm not through with you. I pray the hounds of heaven to work in and through this church so that we become the lighthouse to this community without any doubt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the powerful word of a holy God. May Heavenly Father break us. I pray that you use this word and this message that they didn't look at an old redneck tax collector, but they listened to a holy God. And that Heavenly Father, right now you're moving up and down the portals and the hallways of our hearts. And that Heavenly Father, you're revealing to us our shortcomings. You're revealing to us, Heavenly Father, that we really haven't yielded to you. You're revealing to us, Heavenly Father, the members of our bodies that are serving unrighteousness, serving lust, serving the devil. That Heavenly Father, forgive us. And Heavenly Father, bring us back home so that we can be those living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto you, Heavenly Father, which you want and which you can use. And Heavenly Father, we pray that if there's one here who does not know you, that they will not leave today without asking a holy God into their heart and life to save them. And then, Heavenly Father, I pray that people will get real and allow you to work in their life, that they will come to the altar and ask Christ to forgive them, ask God to reveal to us, Heavenly Father, the parts of our lives that we need to yield to you so that you can better serve this community and these people, Heavenly Father, so that they will see a change in our life. So we thank you for all you're going to do and all that you have already done. Continue to work in my life. Continue to work in our lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.